is dedicated in Fushleim of Chaim Yisachar and Chaim Mushkat, and Le'ilu Nishmas Nachem Yitzchak Ben Yaakov Ben Yaakov Yisrael?
Yes.
This week we spoke about the concept of Simcha as it relates to Rosh Hashanah. So of course then as we move through Chodesh Tishrei, we're going to speak a little bit tonight hopefully about the idea of Simcha as it relates to Yom Kippur. So the sugi begins in the first of Mamakomos, the sugi Masechet Bavad Asra, and Daf Kukhaf Aleph and Aleph, where the Gemara is commenting on a Mishnah that appears in Masechet Tainis, Tanan Osam. We learned in a Mishnah in the end of Masechet Tainis, Amr B'Shem Ben Gamliel, V'hoi Yom Tovim L'Yisrael, K'chemisha Osa Ba'avach Yom HaFipurim. There are no greater days, no more joyous days, days of Yom Tov for Klal Yisrael, than the day of Chemisha Osa Ba'av Tu Ba'av, and the day of Yom Kippur. How do we know? How does the Simcha express itself? How does this Yom Tov express itself? Should Hem Benos Yishalayim Yotos Bechui Lovin Sheulin Shlo Levayishes Misha Ein Lo. That these were the days that the Benos Yishalayim would go out wearing borrowed white dresses. That they would have to go out of the way to borrow one from another, so nobody should be embarrassed. Someone didn't have. That's the Gemara elaborates upon that. The daughter of the king would borrow from the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol would borrow from the daughter of the sky. Everyone would borrow from each other. So that way even the poor girls would have something to wear. And they would go and look around for shidduchim. And the Gemara elaborates, upon how they would use these 2 days as days of shidduchim. In fact, they asked Rav Chaim Shulevitz once, how could it be that on Yom Kippur is a day for shidduchim? I said, imagine David tried to run a singles event in Eli. I said, it wouldn't go over too well. So what's Shabbos Rav Chaim Shulevitz explained? He said there's only one day a year that a person can really trust themselves to make the right decision who they're going to marry. That's on Yom Kippur. When the person has the priority straight, when they're thinking they head on, so that's the day where they should have to be looking for their shidduch. Anyway, again, that's what we're talking about now. So we're talking about the following. So the Gemara comments that these are days which were considered to be special Yom Tovim. So the Gemara wants to know, what was unique about these days? Why are these days such great days of Simcha? So Bishpa Yom Kippurim, Yom Spicha Mechila, Yom Shidu Baluch HaSecharenes. So I understand what the great historical background of Yom Kippur was, that Yom Kippur is a day of Slicha Mechila. It was a day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us Mechila for the Chet HaEgel. It's the day that we get Mechila Doiris. And it's also the day that the Luchos Acharonos, the second set of Luchos, were given to Klal Yisrael. So I understand why Yom Kippur is a very happy day, so it's appropriate to celebrate it. Mashiach came, Tu B'Av, what happened Tu B'Av? So that's what the Gemara goes to the famous list of 5, 6, 7 different things historically that happened at Tu B'Av that contributed to Tu B'Av becoming a Yom Simcha. But for Apur, we're not up to the Tu B'Av part of the Sugya. Maybe at the end of the summer we'll talk about that. But we're focusing on Yom Kippur. So you see clear from the Gemara that the Gemara had no qualms with Yom Kippur being associated with a very happy, joyous event. Because after all, Yom Kippur is the Yom Slicha Mechila, one dimension of Yom Kippur. And the second dimension, that it's the day of Nesilat HaLuchos, the second set of Luchos. So these two components contribute to the fact that Yom Kippur is clearly a special day. It's a day of Yom Tov, not just in Issa Melacha, not just in Mitzvah of Tainis, but there's some degree of Yom Tov related to it, which seems to be synonymous with some degree of Simcha as well. However, if Yom Kippur is really a time of Simcha, it breaks the rules of the normal demonstration of Simcha. As we spoke about last week, that usually we associate Simcha either with Simchas HaMikdash, that's the primary Simcha. That clearly did not exist on Yom Kippur. Now, true, there was special Karbanos brought in Yom Kippur. There was a whole Avodas HaYom of Yom Kippur, but that was Avodas HaTzibur. That wasn't Avodas for Karbanos for Yechidim, except for the Kohen Gadol. So for regular people didn't necessarily come to the base of Mikdash in Yom Kippur. And even if they did, even though the Mishnah says a lot of people would come to see what was going on, people would come to experience the Kedushas HaYom of the Avoda, but it wasn't as Aliyah L'Regel. There was no mitzvah of Shamay Simcha, there was no eating of Karbanos, obviously. So the whole dimension of Shamay Simcha that we associate with Yom Tovim clearly doesn't exist in Yom Kippur. For that matter, even the secondary degree of Simcha, of Bas of Yayin, and things which at least we could have on Rosh Hashanah, like we spoke about last week, even that doesn't exist in Yom Kippur. So the regular expression of Simcha clearly is lacking. So it's one thing to talk about a theoretical Simcha in Yom Kippur, but Tachlis, what does it mean? Practically speaking, do we do anything at all that expresses any degree of real Simcha on Yom Kippur, at least in the classic sense of a Chilul Shtiyah? So here we have really 2 different sugyas concerning Yom Kippur, 2 possible expressions of Simcha, even in the method that we're familiar with, the method of Achila Ushtia. Obviously this Achila Ushtia is not taking place on Yom Kippur, but it may take place before Yom Kippur, it may take place after Yom Kippur, and hopefully as we go on we'll see that both the Suda that we eat before Yom Kippur, as well as the Suda that we eat before Yom Kippur, may actually be an expression of the Simcha Sayyam of Yom Kippur proper. So the sugya in the second of the Mamakamos, the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tesam and Aleph, and the famous Gemara, the Tanich Yibarav Nidifti, the Nisa B'Sav Shaseich and Betisha, the Torah says that you have to fast, you have to afflict yourself on the ninth day of Tishrei, Tichy B'Tisha B'Sanim, to be fast on the ninth day. It's very strange, it says, B'Tisha L'Chodesh B'Erev, you have to begin to fast on the ninth day towards the evening. What does that mean? Does that mean the tenth? Does that mean the ninth? So we know Yom Kippur is on the tenth. The Torah says that explicitly in Parshas Achiros, in Parshas Emor, in Parshas Pinchas. Every time the Torah speaks about Yom Kippur, so it says it's on the 10th day of Tishrei. So how come there's one pasuk that seems to mislead us? There's one pasuk that confuses us, that says, B'tisha l'chadish b'erev. The reason why the Torah formulates it in such a strange way is to teach us the kol oichel v'shel sebitchi ma'al elof kivus anachi v'yasiri. This comes to teach us the famous halacha that eating and drinking on Erev Yom Kippur is considered to be a mitzvah to the extent of fast, like fasting on Yom Kippur, even though fasting is obviously a much harder mitzvah. But it doesn't matter, a person gets chas for eating and drinking on Erev Yom Kippur ki'ilu as if he fasted as well. So this, according to the simple reading of the Gemara, is that this is the Din Min HaTorah. The Gemara is deriving this from a pasuk. The context of the sugya on Daf Tes as Rosh Hashanah is that this is the real Din Min HaTorah. The Gemara has another din derived from the same pasuk. This was the source for Tosefos Yom Kippur, but Tosefos Shabbos and Yom Tov. How do you know you have to stop fasting before the 10th actually comes? Because it says B'tisha L'Chodesh B'Erev, it means you have to start the time a little bit before Shkia. But there are two dinim that seem to be learned out from these sugyim. Again, the Gemara's whole discussion of Daf Tes about which one do you learn or not learn, or both true, whatever the case may be. But if you accept this drasha, it would appear that this is the real din in our Torah, that you have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara goes so far as to say that if a person eats on Erev Yom Kippur, it's ki'ilu is mis'ana, he gets schar ki'ilu he fasted. So remember a couple of years ago I had a pigeon, there was a pigeon aben on Motzar Yom Kippur, which was supposed to be on Yom Kippur, but it was pushed off, not allowed to pigeon aben on Yom Kippur, so they pushed it off till the next day. So it says in the Svarim that if a person eats at a Sukkot Pidgin Aben, that's Ke'ilu, he fasted 84 taimiyot. Because Teidal, the Pidgin, is 84 gematria. Again, what that means exactly, I'm not sure. But Lamai, that says in the Holy Svarim, that there's an idea of eating at Pidgin Aben, Ke'ilu, you fasted. So remember, I came home from that Pidgin Aben, I told my wife that I just fasted for the last 3 days. I said, Erev Yom Kippur, I ate. Erev Yom Kippur says that anyone who eats an Erev Yom Kippur, ki'ilu is chiv yasiri. So he gets chai, ki'ilu you fasted. Then Yom Kippur itself, Hashem has fasted on. And then the following day, Motzei Yom Kippur, I ate by Sudas Pidgin Aben. So eating by Sudas Pidgin Aben, also he gets chai, ki'ilu you fasted. So I told her that I had 3 fasts in a row, to which point she was murdered. That may be true in the Ermas Ayoni, but Tatas on the scale, you only get 1 out of the 3. So, anyway, it's a different.
That's it, to the
talk.
And
so
somebody made a neder to fast 3 days in a row.
You
should consider Yom Kippur because then
he gets the 3 days. It's true, okay. Anyway, so go back to the halakhic perspective. We have the diet perspective for a second. The Gemara says that eating on Erev Yom Kippur is considered to be a mitzvah and you get tzchak if you fasted as well. So this is a big machlekes acharon and what the nature of this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is all about. So basically the machlekes boils down to, is there any real relationship up the halacha between the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur and the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur? So a whole group of Achraim suggest that the whole thrust of the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is basically a hachana for fasting on Yom Kippur. If the Torah wants us to be able to eat well, we should be well nourished when Yom Kippur rolls around. So the Torah wants us to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But the whole mahalach, the whole point of the mitzvah is not to prepare for Yom Kippur itself. And that's why some of the Chavrin write, let's say a person knows they're not going to fast in Yom Kippur. A person has a chayla she'esh per sekana. So he knows he's not going to eat on Yom Kippur. There would be no need for him to be mabed besud in Erev Yom Kippur. There's no point for him to eat a lot of Erev Yom Kippur because the whole point of the mitzvah is hachana for Yom Kippur. By knowing in advance I'm not going to fast, make a taste I should eat. And other Echelim say it's not true. Other Echelim say that the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is an independent mitzvah. That whether you get a fast on Yom Kippur, that's tomorrow's mitzvah. Today is today. Today is Erev Yom Kippur. So even if the person is sick and he's not going to be able to fast tomorrow, he should still have a big suit on Erev Yom Kippur because there's a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. So it's a shayla, famous machlekes nacharonim. Is the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur a part of the mitzvah fasting? It's a chana for the fasting. Or is it a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo? If it would be a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, what type of mitzvah would it be? What kind of sense would that make? Bishlam of Yehol, that the thrust of the mitzvah is to prepare for Yom Kippur, then I understand. I understand what the mitzvah is all about. But if you tell me there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, like Hechatesi, what happened on Tes Tishrei? Nothing happened on Tes Tishrei. What are we celebrating? What kind of strange thing is this? The Torah tells us to celebrate by having a meal. What exactly are you celebrating? So the Acharonim explained, what you're celebrating is the Simchas Hayom of Yom Kippur. It means Yom Kippur itself is a Yom Tov. The Mishnah says, Lo Hayom Tovim Yisrael. And Yom Tov always carries with it the mitzvah of a Samachta Bechagach. There's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. And Simchas Yom Tov always means a Chilush Shniyah. So how is this a Chilush Shniyah going to play out? So the Torah gave us a mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, but the nature of the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a celebration of the Yom Kippur that's about to come upon us. So the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov does exist on Yom Kippur. It exists in the realm of Achilas Shniyah. It just doesn't exist on the 10th day of Tishrei. It's pushed back a little bit to the 9th day of Tishrei. So again, so this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur may indicate to us that there is a degree of Simcha, and the Simcha is actually fulfilled through Achilas Shniyah, but in a slightly different way. So there may be a second half of this story, and that's concerning the possibility of the mitzvah of eating on Matzah Yom Kippur. What kind of a mitzvah is that to eat on Matzah Yom Kippur? So the sugi, that part of the sugi begins on the third of the Mamakamos. The Gemara at the end of Masech is Yuma Daf Pezayin Rebeis tells us, Amarav, Tvilas Ne'ila Pateres Eshal Arvis. Rav says that technically speaking, the person does not have to daven Ma'ariv on Matzah Yom Kippur. Why? Because he daven Ne'ila. Rav's opinion happens to be that you daven Ne'ila at night. It's Machlekes Megemar, whether the time of davening Ne'ila is still Be'od Yom, or is the time for davening Ne'ila already after it's dark. So Rav happens to be of the opinion that davening Ne'ila is supposed to be at night. So if you're davening Ne'ila, it's already after Tetz Kechavim, you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, you know if you're davening Ma'ariv that night. Because the Shmoneh Esrei of Ne'ila, you did a Shmoneh Esrei. The din is you have to daven Shmoneh Esrei every morning, every afternoon, every night. So I daven already Shmoneh Esrei at night. I daven Ne'ila, Manas Kamina. Whether I daven the Ma'ariv of Chol, I daven Ne'ila of the end of Yom Kippur, that's a Shmoneh Esrei. And that part is the chiv of davening Ma'ariv. Doesn't say I'm potter from Kriyashma, of course I have to say Kriyashma. Doesn't say I'm potter from Yitzchias Uzias Mitzrayim. Doesn't say I'm potter from Yichas Kriyashma. The Gemara is only discussing the issue of Shmoneh Esrei. So according to Rav, one would not be required to daven Ma'ariv on Matzah Yom Kippur, at least not the Shmoneh Esrei. So the Rishonim write that we don't paskin like Rav. We cannot paskin like Rav, because we paskin that the Ilah has to be daven Be'od Yom. Rav only makes sense if you hold you can daven the Ilah by night. But we who paskin that you have to have the Ilah basically Be'od Yom. The Chazan's in the Ilah schleps out into the night also. At least he started it. The Yochid for sure davens Be'od Yom. So we who daven the Ilah Be'od Yom, how can that paskin Shomar? How does man Ma'ariv yet? So this whole Gemara Shalak Elocha, that's where the Rush writes. But we all daven the Ilah, and then we turn around 2 seconds later and we daven Matzah Yom Kippur. So Limut Chos, those people who run out of shul, as soon as they blow shofar, they run out, they don't have Meir, so they hold like Rav. Okay, that's okay, they hold like Rav, but we don't pass them like Rav. That's what, it's a half joke and half truth, but they say, why do you say Vurachim and Meir from Matzah Yom Kippur? I said, you just finished the whole day, you've been Achet Shalom, that Halichatom could you possibly have done between Tekiah Shofar and Vurachim, Mashanah Bar, when you spoke Mashanah while they were dancing Mashanah Bar Shalom, what could have possibly gone wrong? So the Bali Musa say, the Vurachim from Matzah Yom Kippur is already Al Shema Osir, it's ready for the Meir that's about to happen. The way the Meir looks Matzah Yom Kippur is not the needs of Vurachim. So anyway, whatever it is, but the mice in the real world of Halacha, so Rav said, you don't have to daven Meir from Matzah Yom Kippur.
Beginning of Yom Kippur, you are chashi of it, which I finished the Shifu meal. And the end of Yom Kippur, your mind is already in the next meal. That's what you're feeling.
That's Vurachim. So the Gemara says that Ravata made them a tzvosi yaseir, Ruvi came to tzayle, so tzach. So ask the Gemara, Umi amar Rav Hachi, did Rav really say that you don't have to daven Meir of Amatzah Yom Kippur? Vamar Rav, Allah could be Amitzvot Tavis Vashos. There is a machlekes in the fourth prayer of Bracha, so you have to daven Meir. Is the din of davening Shmoneh Esrei from Meir, was it ever b'tar as chiyav or not? So there's a big machlekes that Tanan machlekes have a rhyme about that. Is Tfilas Arvis Vashos or Tfilas Arvis Chova? Why would anybody say that Tfilas Arvis is a Vashos? Because Tfilas Arvis was instituted Kenegda HaKtaras Cholam Veivarim, Kenegda that part of the burning of the Karbonos in the Beit HaMikdash. And technically speaking, even if you don't burn the fat in the Beit HaMikdash, you still get through the carbon. The only part of the carbon that's ma'akev is the Avedi Saddam, Shechita, and accepting in the blood, and the walking in the blood, from his back, and the sprinkling in the blood. Those parts of whatever the Avodah Saddam is ma'akev. So the davening Shachris is connected, the Avodah Saddam of the carbon tablet in the morning. Davening Mincha is connected
the Avedis Adam of the Korban Beish Al Bein Arbayim. Myra, there is no Avedis Adam at night. The Torah says the Yom Zivchachem. The Torah says the Yom Tavoysel, like we were covering AM. You're not allowed to do Avedis Adam at night. So why are we davening Myra? So the Gemara explains in the beginning of the fourth prayer of Brachas that the davening Myra is connected to the burning of all the limbs and the fat and everything that was left over from the Karbanos. That you're allowed to do. Victor Kol Laila. Al Eish Tukalam is Bech, the whole Laila. So the Hektach Lam Vevarm is Kasha the entire night. But the Hektach Lam Vevarm is not Ma'akev. If you didn't do it, you would still be, I'd say, the mitzvah. So that's what the one Tana said. The effect of the Tana could never have been a chayva. It doesn't make any sense for it to be a chayva. It wasn't a chayva in the base of Mikdash. It could be a chayva today. So therefore, the whole Tfilas Arvis is only B'Torah Sveshos. That Machlaikas is only about Shema Nesra. Kriyashma is a Din D'Oraisa. Yetzias Mitzrayim is a Din D'Oraisa. And Brichas Kriyashma is a Takanas Lachamim. That, of course, you have to daven. The Machlaikas was, you have to say Shema Nesra at Meir. So we paskin that even though Tfilas Arvis is Rishos, the Rishonim Rep, the Goyim already had a tradition that all of Klai Yisrael already accepted upon themselves to daven, and a person is not allowed to take the attitude, no, I'm not davening Ma'ariv, because it's only Rishos. I'm not interested in davening Ma'ariv tonight. So that you're not allowed to do. So we ask him that, even though it's serious to those Arabs Rishos, but the Kabbalah Satsiba was makabal upon themselves, that we're going to treat it kilu tzachayiva. But that's the reason why the Rishonim said, well, we don't have a Chazos HaShas at Ma'ariv. Because the whole point of the Chazos HaShas was to be motzi those people who didn't know how to daven. So at Shachris, everyone's chayp dan Shachris, so we're not going to have Chazos HaShas, because half the people didn't daven. Mincha, a lot of people didn't know how to daven, so they needed Chazos HaShas Ma'ariv. So you didn't know how to daven, so big deal. So it's not the end of the world, so it's not the end of the world, so you didn't daven for an answer, big deal. So therefore, we're not in the Triach to Oilim to have a Chazos HaShas, because it's not really so critical, the Shema Nesri of Ma'ariv. So comes the Gemara and says, Rab was of the opinion that Tfilas Arvis is Rishos. So what does Rab mean that Tfilas De'ilah Pat is Ma'ariv? Says the Gemara, what do you mean Pat is Ma'ariv? Patering means that you chayef to do it, and now you're going to be potter. You're never chayef to daven. You're not chayef to daven until Yom Kippur. You're not chayef to daven tonight either. So what do you mean Tfilas Arvis is Poterah Shel Ne'ilah? It is Poterah Shel Arvis. The Gemara says, you're right. The Divrei Omer Chayvek Ha'amar. But when Rav said Tfilas De'ilah is Poterah Shel Arvis, that meant according to the Man D'Omer that Arvis is the Chova, so boom, that night in the night of Matzah Yom Kippur, you don't have to daven because the Ne'ilah potters. The rest of the year you would be chayef to daven, and Matzah Yom Kippur you wouldn't be chayef to daven. But if you hold like Rav really holds that Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, that no one ever has to daven Ma'ariv ever, so what do you mean Ne'ilah potters Ma'ariv? You were never chayef in the first place. So that's the Shach Matan Gemara. So it comes out from the Gemara that if you hold that Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, then you don't even need Ne'ilah to potters Ma'ariv. It's obvious you're not going to daven Ma'ariv. So comes Tosis on the fourth of the Mamakamas, tells the Numa that the Zayin of Abayz, and he asks many, many questions on the opinion that Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus. Tosis can't believe that the Gemara really means it literally, that you don't have to daven Ma'ariv. So Tosis shows you from a whole series of Gemaras in the fourth Perek of Brachas that don't seem to indicate this way. They seem to assume that Tfilas Arvis Rishus doesn't really mean it. What does it mean? If you take a look at the Tosis, in the fourth line of the Tosis, in the middle of the line of Omeri, the Nehid Rishus, he ain't Levat Lebechinam. Just because we say that Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, doesn't mean you can just take a lackadaisical attitude and say, well, I'm not going to have Ma'ariv tonight. All Tfilas Arvis Rishus means is, Im lo bebeish mitzvah iveres, what it means is, if you have some other important mitzvah that you could be involved in, better not to daven Ma'ariv. If you have Shachris, I'm going to do, I'm going to daven Shachris, I'm going to do. The other mitzvah's going to have to wait. But if I have a Ma'ariv versus another mitzvah, so be Meichel Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is not as important to Shachris and Menachem. Tfilas Arvis Rishus doesn't mean literally, you don't have to daven ever. No, it means you should daven under normal circumstances. But if a very important thing comes up, then you don't have to daven. So then Tosis continues that if that's the case, so to the end of the Tosis, it's four lines from the end of the Tosis, the Tema, towards the end of the line. First word line is a Makhtiram. So the Tema, my parachach of Amarat, Tfilas Arvis Rishus, Vamri, then Bechinim and Levatla. If that's true, what Tosis says, that Tfilas Arvis Rishus doesn't mean that you never have to daven Ma'ariv. It just means when there's a big Tzorech, you don't have to daven Ma'ariv. So then what's the Gemara talking about Matzah Yom Kippur? The Gemara says that if you hold Tfilas Arvis Rishus, then you don't have to daven Ma'ariv Matzah Yom Kippur. Forget about the Ne'ilah. Just because it's a Rishus, you don't have to daven Ma'ariv. So Tosis, what's the big Tzorech? So Taisa says, "V'yeshlo with the ends of bechinam, to belel yom kippurim." There is a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah that you should be doing on Matzah Yom Kippur? Mitzvah l'teruach l'hochim tzarchis uda davi ke'en yom tiv. So comes Taisa and says that if you hold that Tfilas Arvis is Rishos, there would be no reason to have Ma'ariv Matzah Yom Kippur. Why? Because Matzah Yom Kippur, you should be busy doing something else. What should you be doing? The minute they blow shofar, you should go eat your Suda, go cook your food, go get ready for the Suda, because that's the mitzvah Salayla, that's the mitzvah Matzah Yom Kippur. Again, it happens to be at the end of the day, we pass in, and the Elah doesn't pop there, and we pass in Tfilas Arvis Rishos, doesn't really mean it, and at the end of the day, we do have Ma'ariv Matzah Yom Kippur. That's all true. But according to Rav, Rav is of the opinion that if you hold Tfilas Arvis Rishos, it's not even in the ballpark. You don't even have to discuss. Of course you don't have a Ma'ariv Matzah Yom Kippur, because you should be busy getting the Suda ready. And what kind of a Suda is this? Where's the nature of the Suda of Matzah Yom Kippur? Ki yamin v'medrish to Matzah Yom Kippur in Paschal, Yotzis Rameres, Lech Echol b'simcha lach mechet. Key word. The Paschal, the voice from heaven, cries out of Matzah Yom Kippur, that the Rebbe Shem has been mechaper for all our Averes. Everyone should go and enjoy their food, and go drink their wine, and have a Simchas Hayom. And that's the nature of the mitzvah Matzah Yom Kippur. So Tosfos took this with the utmost seriousness. This wasn't just a drush. It wasn't just a nice story that the Basco comes out from Shemayim. Tosfos said this is a real din, and this exempts a person from davening Ma'ariv. In the end, we don't pass like it on technical grounds. There are a lot of technical reasons why we don't accept this lahalacha. But in theory, Tosfos says that it's because it is Basco, because of the Lech Echol b'Simcha Lach Mecha, that ultimately is a poter from davening Ma'ariv on Matzah Yom Kippur, because they're supposed to be involved in eating. So the eating of Matzah Yom Kippur is not just because we're hungry. The eating of Matzah Yom Kippur is the teres mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Lech Echol b'Simcha Lach Mecha. So it could be, we have here, is both an inyan of Simcha on Erev Yom Kippur, as well as an inyan of Simcha on Matzah Yom Kippur, and they both may be emanating from the same source, that Yom Kippur, as the Gemara said in Masechet Zavei Basi, Yom Kippur is a Yom Simcha, because it's a Yom Sricha Mechila, as Yom Shizibol Dechus Acharitis. So it really is a day of Simcha. It should have had Simcha to it. But the Baruch Shalom formulated Yom Kippur in such a way that you're not allowed to drink on Yom Kippur itself. But that doesn't exempt us from the notion of Simcha. So that notion of Simcha expressed itself at both times. The introduction to Yom Kippur is a Yom Simcha. That's the nature of the eating, mitzvah of eating according to many Acharonim. And eating on Matzah Yom Kippur is also that dimension of Simcha. As the Baskos is the Farish, Lech Echol b'Simcha Lech Mecha. Since they had... I told over the story when I was sitting Shiva that this past Yom Kippur, my father already had gotten strict doctor's orders that he wasn't allowed to fast. So I had to work hard to convince him he wasn't allowed to fast for Yom Kippur. Okay, good. So my mother told me that after Yom Kippur was over, so they have in the shul, they have a break fast, and they make a bowl and they have some cake and juice, everything. So my father went to go take a piece of cake. So she was telling over the story about it. So I said that, well, that makes a lot of sense. I said, even if a person is not fasting on Yom Kippur, you could argue that maybe they're potter from Achila and Erev Yom Kippur, because Achila and Erev Yom Kippur, we're not sure what the nature of that simcha is. We're not sure, is that a hachana for the tainus, or is that a mitzvah b'fnei atzma? So if a person knows that they're going to have to eat on Yom Kippur. But the eating on Matzah Yom Kippur, that's not hachana for anything. That's for sure the Torah simcha sayyayim. That's because of Mechila Savainas. That has nothing to do with whether you fast or not. The guy's been eating the whole day, the person's eating the whole day Yom Kippur. The doctor's ordered him to eat full meals all day Yom Kippur. He's still supposed to eat on Matzah Yom Kippur. So I said, follows in chapter into the Shtikl Torah, that Matzah Yom Kippur, you have to have your cake and whatever the simcha is, whatever makes you have to have your little suda on Matzah Yom Kippur, that's for sure. But you have to have your suda. Now Yom Kippur is up for grabs. So Matzah Yom Kippur is for sure a function of the simcha sayyayim or the mechilas avinus. Assuming that there is this dimension of simcha sayyayim on Yom Kippur, so we said that it's primarily a function of the fact that it's a Yom Mechila Slicha, that it's a day of Nidna Baluch Sacharinus. But perhaps there's something a little bit more to it than just the technicality that a person receives Mechilas Avonos. Now perhaps that's based on the fifth of the Ma'amar Kamas. The Gemara Ma'ikotan and Daf Yedal of Beis raised the question, Mitzora Ma'ashiyanik Tzarata Beregel. A Mitzora, a person who has a Tzarat, so he has to observe a certain degree of Avelos. The Torah describes that certain activities that he does, which are very reminiscent to us, of course, of Avelos, but God of Yufum, if he rips his clothes, or if Rosh Yafarua, that he doesn't get a haircut, the Al Safam Yatme covers over his mouth, which is referring to Atifas HaRosh in the days of Chazal, so the oven would cover over his head, that he would have his whole head covered, that we shut him right. Except Bizman Hazeh, we don't do that anymore, Atifas HaRosh, because Bizman Hazeh, it's going to lead to a big joke. In the olden days, when a person would sit with his head covered, you know, with his scarf over his head, his kafir, whatever was over his head, so that was a sign of being stalem, that he's very serious. Whereas today, if you'd walk in and see a guy sitting Shiva and he's got his head covered with a scarf, so you think the guy, you think it's Purim today. So therefore, Bezmanazet's not going to have the same effect. So the Rishonim, right, therefore we did away with it. We don't do it because Bezmanazet's not an expression of Avelus. Yeah, okay, whatever it was, but the mice never happened. Right? So anyway, the bottom line is, so the Mitzvah also observes these actions, which are pretty much reminiscent of Hilchos Avelos. So the Gemara raises the shaila, what the din? Does the Mitzvah observe these halachas on Yom Tov? That became a Mitzvah, now it's Yom Tov. So is that appropriate or not? So we know that Hilchos Avelos, some of them are observed on Yom Tov, much of Hilchos Avelos is not observed on Yom Tov. So what's the din? So what is the din of the Avelos of Mitzvah vis-a-vis Yom Tov? So Amar Abaye, Toshma, but not the Mitzvah, I think about trusting. Right, and then finally we'll skip down to the Amar Rava. The third line, Amar Rava Toshma, Hatzaru al Rabbis Kohen Gadol. The pasuk says that Hatzaru Shabo Hanega Begadav Yufrum Rosh Yafaru, etc. The Hatzaru. So the Toshma Rabbah picks up on the word Hatzaru. We're talking about a Mitzvah. Who else are we talking about? So what does the Mitzvah Hatzaru mean? So Hatzaru is a Ribui. Hatzaru comes to tell me, no matter who you are, no matter what, how high a position you have, you're the Kohen Gadol. Abba Bichain, your Mitzvah, you have to observe the Avelus of Mitzvah. That's where the Rabbis Kohen Gadol. So says the Gemara, that Kohen Gadol Cholashana Kiregel L'Kulei Amadomi. So the Kohen Gadol on a regular day is like Yisrael B'Regel. That a Kohen Gadol all year long is in the base of Mikdash, he's bringing Kabbanas, he's doing those activities that Yisraelim do normally on the Shalosh Regalim. And this is a halachic equation, that the Kohen Gadol status all year long is Yisrael B'Regel Dami. So just as the Kohen Gadol observes the Dinim of Mitzvah on a regular day, we can extrapolate this Din D'Oraisa, that these Dinim apply to Yisrael on the Shalosh Regalim as well. So this idea that the Gemara says that Kohen Gadol Chol HaShana is Yisrael B'Regel Dami, so what exactly does that mean for us? What exactly is the nature of that equation? So l'chaura, what the nature of that equation is as follows, that the common denominator between the Kohen Gadol all year long and the Yisrael B'Regel is that both of them are in the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. Both of them are involved in the Yonim of being Lefnei Hashem, that the Kohen Gadol is Mabrish Lefnei Hashem all day long, and the Yisrael B'Regel is coming to be L'Ros Lefnei Hashem Rokecha, he's coming to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what the Gemara says is that dimension of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's really the mechayev of being in a state of simcha, and that could potentially have taught us that overrides the dinim of Mitzorah, Kamash Blano, that Mitzorah overrides that dimension of simcha, of being listening to Hashem. So that idea that a person is in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Yom Tovim, perhaps that idea is really what's driving the whole idea of simcha and Yom Kippur, and really continuation, the follow-up of last week, and the simcha of Rosh Hashanah as well. Because even though we prove from a lot of Makoros that there seems to be Simcha last week in Rosh Hashanah, and there seems to be Simcha this week in Yom Kippur Shir, but at the end of the day, it doesn't have the same characteristic of Simcha that normal Shalosh Regalim have. Namely, there's no Lila Regal, there's no Karbanah. So the basic B'Samachta Lefnei Hashem Lekecha, the phrase that always appears by the Shalosh Regalim, doesn't appear by Rosh Hashanah nor by Yom Kippur. But even though it doesn't appear in the physical sense, that a person isn't literally in front of Hashem in terms of visiting the Beis HaMikdash, the idea that a person is Lefnei Hashem on Yom Kippur is very much true, and it's very much true in the halachic sense as well. So this is based on the Gemara in the sixth of the Maamar Kamos. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chavav, and Aleph tells us, the Amar of Chizah, Vipnei ma ein kohen gadol nichtas b'bigdei zavon. Why is it that on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you would think he would have to wear the holiest begadim? Now the big day kohen gadol are the high level of kedusha. The regular beged of a kohen hedyot, the four simple white begadim that a regular kohen wears, that's a lower level of kedusha. So one would have expected that on Yom Kippur of all days he should wear the highest level. He should wear the big day zav, and he doesn't. Why is that? Because they have zav in them, they have gold in them, and it would be inappropriate for the gold to be brought in on Yom Kippur into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because we're trying to get a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, we're trying to recreate the kapara of the Chet HaEgel. How could you bring in the Kategel, bring in the gold, which is reminiscent of the Egel itself? So the Gemara goes through a lot of questions about this principle of Inka Tegan Asas and Negar. So if you go down to the third line of that Mar Mokham, so at the end, the Gemara asks, Va'ika Big Day Zobi Bachutz. So wait a second, the Kohen Gadol wears the Big Day Zob on a regular day. He wears them when he's doing the Avodah on the Mizbeach. So Manish Tana going into the Kohen Shekadoshim. So the Gemara says, no, that's the difference. We Bifnim Kohen Rinan. The din of Inka Tegan Asas and Negar is only a din Bifnim. When you're going Mamish in front of the Rabban Shalom, then you leave the Chet Egal by the door. So yes, the Gemara, the reason why this Gemara appears in Rosh Hashanah is the Gemara used this as a mokor that you don't blow shofar from a cow's horn. Out of all the animals, all of the kol shofar's kshayim, chutz mishaparos. So one of the reasons the Gemara says that a cow's horn is not acceptable is because ein ketegen asas an egar. The cow is the mother of the calf, the mother of the egel azov. So to blow a shofar from a cow's horn would be a violation of ein ketegen asas an egar. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you just finished telling me that that principle of ein kategen asas and not bringing in the gold and the cow and things like that into the Avodas Hashem, that's only true in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's not true chutz the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're not blowing shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So yes, the Gemara shofar davi b'chutzu. So based on the rules that you just told me, you just formulated yourselves, you just realized yourself that ein kategen asas and is limited to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If it doesn't apply outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, why does it apply to shofar? So the Gemara says a very, very profound, very, very moving answer. The Gemara says, came into the Karenu, ki b'fnim dami. The Gemara says that Kiyah Shofar is the status of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why? Because what's the point of the Kiyah Shofar? Is it the Yom Teruah, it's a Zichron Teruah, it's supposed to bring our Zichronus to the Rabban Shalom. Anything that's coming to bring us in front of the Rabban Shalom, it's bringing our Maisim, bringing our deeds in front of the Rabban Shalom. So that's Ki B'fnim Dami. It means we're going to the Rabban Shalom. Who are we? We are our Maisim, our mitzvahs, our Maisim Toivim. Everything that we did during the course of the year is presenting itself to the Rabban Shalom. The Rabban Shalom is judging us, so we are standing Mamash in the Rabban Shalom's presence. That's like the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur. And when does this din take place? At the time of the Tkiyah Shofar. So the Tkiyah Shofar is bringing our Zichronus to the Rabban Shalom. That's the Ki B'fnim. That has the status of Ki B'fnim. It's not just a drush. I always say when I read this Gemara, this is not a Shabbos morning drush. This is a Shabbos afternoon shir. This is a real halachic point that because Tkiyah Shofar has a din of Ki B'fnim, therefore it's subject to the limitation, to the requirement of Ein Ketegen Asas and Egar. And this is not the halacha.
So that the shofar would become
part of Tfilah of it. Okay,
a sample of Tfilah.
Because that's also Omer Dipnei Hashem. Okay. So it comes out from this sugya that what's taking place really on Rosh Hashanah is that a person is going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's not literally going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's not literally coming to the Beis Mikdash. There's no mitzvah L'Aliyah L'Regel, but he's coming with Hashem. That's on Rosh Hashanah. On Yom Kippur, so even though it's true there is no din of Aliyah L'Regel, that is correct, that a person doesn't have to do Aliyah L'Regel, but the Kohen Gadol does go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, and he's not going in only as an individual. The Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he brings the Dama Par is Mechaper for him, and he brings the Dama Sor is Mechaper for Klal Yisrael, and the Dama Sor, the blood of the goat, goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Klal Yisrael is going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he heals the Kohen Gadol. Not literally, nobody's allowed to be in the Yom Moy when the Kohen Gadol goes in, but figuratively, halachically, it's as if Klaisos Karbanos, their mice and toivim, their mitzvahs, their avodah is going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So no matter where a person is in Rosh Hashanah geographically, Apidin is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No matter where a person is geographically in Yom Kippur, he's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also have that dimension of bringing a person into the Lifnei Hashem, at least in the figurative sense, in terms of Lifnei Hashem. That's what the Rav explained. That's ultimately where Simcha comes from in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You know, we had a lot of rayas that the Simcha and Rosh Hashanah, a lot of rayas that Simcha and Yom Kippur. But it's not only because Yom Kippur is just a happy day, because the luchos were given and things of that nature, but the very essence of Yom Kippur, the very essence of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is because there are days that we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're Oyvim B'Fnei Hashem, that creates a tremendous degree of simcha for an individual. Just time being in the presence of the Rabban Shalom. So the mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur may express itself slightly different, but the mokar is the same. The root cause of what creates the Simcha is ultimately the Amid L'Fnei Hashem, which is really the source of all Simcha. Because if you look at all the Psukim and Chumash that talk about Simcha's Yantiv, the Torah keeps on saying, Samachta L'Fnei Hashem L'Kechem, Samachta L'Fnei Hashem L'Kechem. Being in the state, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is what brings about the ultimate Simcha. But notwithstanding the fact that there is definitely Simcha and Rosh Hashanah and a Simcha, a certain degree in Yom Kippur as well, the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is not the same as the Shalosh Regalim, and that is expressed most clearly in the fact that we do not recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah says we don't recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Psukim Lefanav, the Tamar Meshira, the Rabbanu Shalom's books of life and death are open, and we're going to say Shira, that would be inappropriate. What does that mean? It's inappropriate to say Hallel when Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim are open. So the Rambam in the 7th of the Ramakamos in Uchas Megillah, in Uchas Chanukah, Paragimah, Alachavav, the first two Prachim of Uchas Megillah, the 3rd and 4th of Uchas Chanukah, so this is really Uchas Chanukah, Uchas Chanukah, Paragimah, Alachavav, when the Rambam discusses when you say Hallel, so the Rambam writes that in the third line, the Rambam is paraphrasing that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. About Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim ain ben hala. Why? The pisha ain you made tshuva v'yir v'fachad, because these are days of tshuva and yir v'fachad. So lo you made simcha yaseira. They're not days of great, outbursts of joy. The Rambam did not say they're not days of joy. The Rambam wanted to say they're not days of simcha. He knew how to say they're not days of simcha. The Rambam says lo you made simcha yaseira. They're not days of excess joy. Why they're not days of excess joy? How could there be extra joy? Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Psukim Lefanav. So the Rambam is walking a very fine tightrope that everything we said last week and today hopefully is true, that there is a mitzvah of Simcha in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the Simcha expressed itself in Rosh Hashanah through Basar Yayin perhaps, and Yom Kippur through the Suda before and the Suda after. So it does have those dimensions of physical Simcha to it. The Mechayiv of both the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is fundamentally the same as Yom Tif. It's being Lifnei Hashem. In the Shal Shul Golem, it's physically Lifnei Hashem. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's more of a spiritual Lifnei Hashem. But there is a difference, and the difference expressed itself in a new halachic concept. There's a halachic concept called Simcha, and there's a halachic concept called Simcha Yaseira, that overwhelming joy, that all excessive joy that exists on the Shalosh Regalim, that does not exist on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because the days of Yimei Pachad, the Tshuva, the Yira. So hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, next week, we'll have a chance to finish up the Yimei Simcha, so we'll move into the Simcha of, particularly the Simcha of regular Yom Tov, particularly the Simcha of Sukkis, and the Simcha Shmini Atzeres, Simcha Torah, and to be able to hopefully complete the three, to see that that dimension of Simcha that perhaps is lacking on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur now reaches a new height when it comes to the celebration of Sukkot. So we'll have to see in Mitzvah next week with the connection between the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of his list, the Shirim, how this leads into the ultimate Simcha of Zman Simcha.
Henry?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Say
it again.